Kepler, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
It is time for Building Rural Wealth, and we have with us Dan Miller. Dan, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing well. Beautiful morning.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, beautiful morning following a beautiful weekend.
Yes.
But I will tell you, though, when I woke up and I asked Alexa what's the weather today, and she told me it was 47 outside, I was like, whoo, boy, that's...
Yeah, that's right. Better check in with Aaron and see if that's trek or
no kidding, that's exactly right. That's right.
So, but this is my kind of weather.
Yeah, no kidding. Fall is awesome.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
So. Yeah, when it's crisp and cool in the morning, but then gets up pretty nice in the afternoons and cool evenings.
We're going to be 70 this afternoon, 71, so nice.
Yeah,
good weekend.
Yeah, nice weekend. Yeah, a lot busy weekend, a lot of fun activities, so that was good. Got to see the grandkids. Anytime we get to see the grandkids,
that's
it's
a win, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a win right there, absolutely.
All right, very cool. And we have with us Rachel Dorr as well. Rachel, how are you? Pull that mic up there a little closer to you, Rachel. Yeah. So, how was your weekend?
Pretty good, thanks.
Still working on the house?
We are. We should be moving this next weekend. We had to go to Kansas City this weekend for the Chiefs. Took the kids down for that. My daughter got to actually dance with the Chiefs cheerleaders at halftime.
Oh, wow. How about that?
So it was a
Did
really
Ben
cool
get
thing.
To dance with them, too?
He would have liked to.
Yeah, I would say he would probably like to.
Yeah, most guys would.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just saying. So it didn't turn out too well for them this weekend, though.
Well, you know, they...
It's preseason.
They're not playing all
and
their...
I was going to say, the part that counted, though, they look pretty good.
I got to tell you.
They look pretty good.
So, Matt, our Bears fan, says he'll take it. A Bears win, even if it's preseason, and Mahomes plays three snaps, it's still a win. So
yeah.
The Bears fans take it whenever
they
can
get it.
There
you go. But, no, I tell you what, like I said, I thought – I watched pretty much all of it, but, whenever the first team was in there, they looked pretty good, pretty sharp, so that was fun.
They're going to be strong again this year. So, all right, Building Rural Wealth. Required minimum distributions, RMDs, and managing the tax bite. Okay, set this up for me.
Dan, well, you know, we love to talk taxes. You know, we love to talk required minimum distributions. That's part of the reason why Rachel's here, of course, is that she's our tax guru. And, I always say, required minimum distributions, you got to remember that's the IRS way of saying, we're patiently waiting. You know, Uncle Sam's patiently waiting out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've been waiting all these years, and it's our time to collect some taxes. So what we're going to do is we're going to cover what RMDs are, when they start, how they're taxed, and maybe some strategies to kind of reduce that tax bite. And, again, the goal's not here not to scare you at all, but just to kind of prepare people because
Absolutely.
It is a big part of their financial planning.
You bet. What's an RMD? Break it down for me just in plain, simple terms, Dan.
Well, RMD, of course, stands for Required Minimum Distributions. And again, just like I said, what an RMD is, the government, whenever you have any type of a tax-deferred account, retirement account, folks are familiar with 401ks, IRAs, SEP IRAs, simple IRAs, all those things that grow tax-deferred. Well, again, Uncle Sam patiently waiting out there and allows you to grow that money tax deferred until retirement. But then at some point, they're going to start collecting some taxes. So required minimum distributions rules are the rules that say how much and how soon that you've got to start taking your required minimum distributions. So what the rules have changed significantly over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Everybody used to be familiar with 70 and a half, and I know everybody thought that was weird. Why 70 and a half, But then the rule went to 72. Well, now It's age 73 is the starting point for most retirees today. Unless you've already started them, then, you know, again, those rules apply.
Sure.
And for those born 1960 or later, it's now 75. So, I mean, for example, I'm born in 1963, so, you know, my RMD is not till age 75, right, which is kind of hard to believe, you know,
yeah,
that it's that far out there. And again, they're, you know, and how they're calculated, we have people ask us about this all the time. And basically, it's a actuarial table, mm-hmm, that the government uses, that the IRS uses, based on life expectancy. And what it always looks at, every year, it looks at the 12/31 balance of the year prior. So if you have an IRA, for example, that had a balance of $500,000 on 12/31 of the year prior, okay,
yeah,
and it's your first year at age 73 taking a required minimum distribution, that would be somewhere around, to be pretty close to like $18,000. And okay, again, it's a percentage that changes a little bit based on your age every year.
Okay.
So, you know, like I said, one of the big things about RMDs that we always like to stress is, you know, you can't, if you have tax qualified plans, you know, that are growing tax deferred, you can't avoid paying or taking your RMDs, but you can absolutely prepare for them and manage them. And that's a lot of what we talk about when we talk about financial planning when it comes around RMDs.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about the tax bite. Rachel, tell me about, what are we looking at? RMDs and taxes. Break that down for me.
Yes. So those RMDs are considered ordinary income when it comes to taxes, just like your wages and other forms of income. So if you're not considering that as part of your taxable income, that can push you into a higher tax bracket, mm-hmm, than expected. So that does go towards that ordinary income. And that has, adding to that ordinary income, is going to impact how your Social Security is taxed. More of those Social Security benefits may become taxable. And those Medicare premiums, those income thresholds, if you exceed those, that can affect the cost of your Medicare premiums too.
Okay.
Yep. So we see folks, they don't need that extra income. You know, they're kind of in a predictable income scenario when it comes to taxes, but you still have to take it, you know, and then suddenly.
Because it's required.
Yes, it is required.
So, Uncle Sam's required. Waiting, that's patiently
right.
Waiting.
Everything's yes. Fine, everything's good, you know, where your income is and your taxes and your Medicare, and then all of a sudden you may be, you know, kind of pushed out of that comfort zone you've been in for some years.
Are there strategies to help manage that,
yes,
Rachel?
Yes, absolutely. So, obviously, starting early is a good strategy. You know,
sure,
we know this is coming, and like Dan mentioned, there are, you know, changes frequently with this, so I think the more you can kind of be proactive and less reactive when the time comes, you're going to be in a lot better position to be strategic with it.
Okay.
So sometimes we know this is coming, so you may want to take some distributions before that RMD age. You know, you might be, if you're in your 60s, retired, but haven't started drawing that Social Security or pensions, that might be a good place to add some of those distributions into your taxable income when it might be a little bit lower during that time.
Okay.
And you have a little bit lower income tax bracket. So what you really want to look at over those years is kind of where you're at with your tax bracket and kind of filling that bucket, if you will. So you're not forced into the next tax bracket. If you can fill it over the years, then you may not be, you know, pushed over the edge when those RMDs kick in.
Okay.
So it's kind of spreading the pain out. Like Dan said, there's no way of getting out of paying the taxes, but if you can kind of spread that out a little bit, it's a little bit easier to
again,
handle.
You can manage that a
you
little bit.
You can manage it a little
all
bit.
All right. And you yeah. help people do this too, by
absolutely,
the way.
Absolutely, yes.
Talk to me, Dan, a little bit about Roth conversions. You've touched on this in the past a time or two, but how can that be help you out with this situation?
Well, going right along with what Rachel just said, I mean, sometimes it makes sense. And, you know, and I know this goes against folks, you know, traditional thinking, and especially, you know, not to pick on a tax preparer, but oftentimes a lot of the tax professional, you know, their number one goal is to keep taxes low, you know, right. And I get that. But sometimes it's managing them over time. And sometimes that managing that pain, like Rachel referred to it, is by spreading it out. And uh-huh. One way you can spread it out is by taking some of that tax pain early. So one way is, like Rachel said, maybe you go ahead and take a little bit of income. But then another way you can do it, and especially oftentimes, like if somebody is younger and they are not necessarily younger, but they've retired now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So their W-2 type or 1099 income is lower. So their that type of income, taxable income, is lower. So now might be a time where a Roth conversion does make sense, because a Roth conversion is taxed just like ordinary income. Again, because it's you are now converting that to grow tax free. But yeah. When you do that, you do have to pay tax on it in that year. But again, you know, doing that systematically, strategically, based on your retirement plan and the rest of, you know, the rest of your financial plan, you know, it might make sense to do that. And this is something that we do with people all the time, is you have to be strategic about it. I mean, you know, it's easy, you know, it's easy for people to look at their plan and go, well, I got $3 million. I know I'm going to have enough. I'm going to be fine. So it really doesn't matter. I don't need to talk to anybody. Well, yes, you probably will be, but is there a reason to pay any more to Uncle Sam than what you have to?
That's right.
Yeah. You know, well, I say the answer is no.
Right.
Let's be strategic about this. Let's look at the...
It's your money.
Absolutely. It's your money. Let's, you know...
Yeah.
I had a guy tell me one time at think of the IRS and Uncle Sam as your partner. Well, you want him to be as much of a minority partner as possible, you know, yeah. When it comes time to spending the money from your joint venture here, which right. Is your retirement
right.
accounts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely. That's great. And you can help people determine when it is most advantageous to potentially look at a Roth conversion.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, rather than just kind of winging it.
Yeah. And like I said, oftentimes that's part of the financial and the retirement income plan.
What's a qualified charitable deduction, Rachel?
Okay, so qualified charitable distributions, or we call them QCDs, that is a way of taking some of those RMDs
and
not having to pay taxes on them by way of donations.
Okay.
Yep. So charitable donations, it has to be qualified, but you can start actually doing QCDs at 70.5.
Okay.
And basically, that money goes directly from your retirement account to a qualified charity.
Okay.
So
you never really gain possession of it,
nope,
right? It just goes from your account to the
mm-hmm.
charity.
Yep, and okay. It is not taxed when you do that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if you're already making these deductions, I mean, or contributions, you know, these, if you're already charitably inclined, I mean, this is an absolutely great tool.
You bet.
To manage that. I mean, because like I said, instead of writing those, you know, instead of taking the money from your RMD, you know, you take it and then turn around and write the check to the church or the organization or whatever. Instead, you just have the check go directly. And it's...
You say qualified charity. Are there a list of those, or what's a qualified charity?
Yes, yes. And it has to be qualified in the eyes of the IRS.
Right.
So it could be, you know, a nonprofit or a charity, but if it doesn't have that designation with the IRS, it doesn't qualify.
Okay.
But I think you'd be surprised that the most organizations are
qualified.
Eligible
okay.
for
yeah.
that tax deduction on your income with those QCDs. And I think some people don't even realize how much giving they do
mm-hmm.
if you look at it. And like Dan was saying, you know, if you might be writing these checks, you might as well just go ahead and have that sent directly from your IRA to the organization and save some taxes.
Sure.
There.
Now, Aaron, I don't think, though, the Aaron West Cigar Fund.
I don't think
one's qualified, but we'll look into it.
I think it might be.
You think it might be?
I think it might be.
You know, and on that note, that is all public. You can look that up.
All right, we'll search that one out when we get back.
If it's not, it should be.
There you go.
We're going to petition somebody for that one. Absolutely. So, all right. Diversifying account types before retirement. What are we looking at there, Dan?
Well, you know, this is another way, again, of managing these taxes prior to retirement. You know, a lot of times we talk about diversification when it comes to asset classes that we use for or investment types and those kind of things. Well, another type of diversification we talk about is tax diversification. You know, so you can manage some of these RMDs and you can manage some of this future tax bite as you go along. You know, so in other words, you know, maybe it makes sense if somebody wants to, for example, start contributing more to their 401k, they've gotten in a position or whatever,
yeah,
you know, where they can do that. And everything up to this point, they've been doing tax deferred, you know, well, now if they're going to want to contribute more, maybe it makes sense for them to diversify their contributions to a Roth. Now, this is something that they would want to visit with their tax person about, but if they've already not been taking that tax deduction, there's a pretty good chance that that would be okay to do that, sure, and then it would have the advantage of not being taxable in the future. So again, you got to look at, you know, how do you coordinate all these together? And again, working with your tax professional to make sure it makes sense.
Absolutely. Speaking of coordinating, what about coordinating other income sources, Rachel? What do we need to be thinking about there?
Yes, because those RMDs don't happen in isolation. We have other sources of income, like
right,
you mentioned, Social Security, maybe pension, maybe you still have some business income, or you know, maybe, you know, a lot of people might still have some W-2 income at that age. So it all kind of fits together when it comes to the taxes, and you kind of piece it together and see what that whole picture looks like and where you sit when it comes tax time.
Okay. Again, there's a lot of planning strategy that goes into this. You're not, when you're working with people, we've mentioned it many times, you're looking at this holistic kind of everything in approach to make it work best for the people. So when you're talking broader planning considerations, Dan, How do you work all this together? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, again, kind of like I said, this is the big picture. You know, we talk about one of the things with our planning clients, the seven pillars, and that's taxation, that's income, that's, you know, protection, all these things. Well, you got to look at them all tied together, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. So, again, this is looking at it at your tax management strategies, I'm going to call it, in the, like you said, holistically in the context of looking at the whole big picture.
Yeah.
And, you know, like one of the things, you know, is portfolio sustainability, you know, just making sure that you don't withdraw things so fast that you get yourself in trouble, or, and then also managing those withdrawals, because like I said, maybe you've got different types of tax categorized accounts. Again, you've got some Roth, you've got after-tax accounts, you've got pre-tax accounts. It's managing that. And then also, of course, your estate planning. That's another big part of your financial planning you got to look at, you know, because, you know, like, for example, if you have money that you're going to leave to someone that is not your spouse, okay, so a non-spousal IRA, for example, for your kids or for whoever, you know, now we have the 10-year inherited rule, where they have to liquidate that account within 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's a whole different, you know, it used to be, you know, we could stretch that thing out a long, long time, you know, but now they've got, you know, now your heirs got to manage that within 10 years, you know, which, yes, they get the money, but right, they got to manage it.
Yeah.
You know.
There are tax implications there with that as well, right? So
absolutely.
Uncle Sam's patiently waiting.
Well, that's right. That's right. And you know, and that's a great point.
Yeah.
If it is in a tax-qualified plan that's an IRA tax deferred, someone is going to pay tax on it.
Yes.
It's either you or your heirs, whoever gets it. Whoever cashes that money out sometime is going to pay some tax on it. So some of these strategies to do that, you know, manage that ahead of time with you know, to take care of your RMDs and some of those things ahead of time with the Roth conversions, with the taking the income, like Rachel said, may make a lot of sense.
Well, it takes a lot of work and a lot of planning to put this overall package together. So talk to your professional for sure. So key things we need to take away from this are what?
Yeah, so I guess the key takeaway is to plan ahead, you know. We don't want this sneaking up on us and then have surprises come tax time. And there's a lot of different moving parts, a lot of different strategies, obviously changes in tax law. Mm-hmm. So, of course, working with your professional can really help save you in the long run. And, you know, like Dan had mentioned, these tax-qualified plans are great when you're not having to pay taxes on that money. But
yeah,
that will eventually need to be paid at some point in time. So just kind of trying to figure out how and when you want to do that.
Yep.
Because you can't kick the can down the road forever.
it eventually you're going to have to pay, mm-hmm. right?
I mean, somebody is. You, your heirs, someone is going to have to pay.
All right. How can people get in touch with you? MilestoneFinancialGroup.com.
Yep, that will do it. And then also call the office, of course, at 712-623-5726.
Yep.
And we do have a 1-800 number, too, and I wish I could think of that off the top of my head, but I can't. But, 712-623-5726. They can sure give us a call. And
I can't seem to find that right at the moment, Dan.
Yeah.
I thought I could square.
We've had it forever. I think I know it, but I don't want to say it wrong. But anyway, like I said, give us a call. We'd be happy to sit down with you. And again, the first consultation is always complimentary.
Yeah.
And we call it a discovery meeting to see if we can, see if we're a good match to see if we can assist you in any way. So we'd be happy to do that.
Very good. Nice to visit with you both. I know on the back you have this really nice back patio area.
Yeah.
You need to pull the desks out there today and work
there
out
there. There you go. No kidding.
So it is.
No kidding.
Open the back doors up and just enjoy.
Yeah, I know. Well, I tell you what, actually, the landscapers are there working today. So it might be a little dirty back there today, but hopefully they'll be wrapped up pretty quick. But yeah, it's this is a top 10 day for sure.
Very good. Nice to see you both.
All right. Thank you.
It's been Building Rural Wealth with Milestone Financial.
Daniel Miller, Caleb Roebuck, Marcus Taylor, and Ashley Franco are investment advisor representatives of, and security and advisory services are offered through USA Financial Securities, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor located at 6020 East Fulton Street, Ada, Michigan, 49301. Milestone Financial Group is not affiliated with USA Financial Securities. The strategies and concepts discussed are for educational purposes only and do not represent specific investment, tax, or estate planning advice. Investing carries an inherent element of risk, and there is no guarantee of financial success or specific investment results. Results may vary based on individual circumstances. It is in everyone's best interest to consult a tax, legal, or investment professional depending on their unique situations.
At Sapp Brothers, we understand the hard work that goes into running a farm. You and your vehicles work hard for the important things in life.